Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127games.com.
Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 100 Wargaming Tips. I am beyond excited about this episode because it has been 7 years and tens of thousands of hours worth of podcasting in the making for this episode to come here for your listening pleasure. It's even more special for a couple of reasons. First of all, because all of the content has been generated by listeners like you. I put out a call to action a while ago, and I said, hey guys, I'm going to do something special for a really special podcast episode. Are you willing to submit some tips for me to read on the air and share what you think are great things to keep in mind when wargaming? And then it became even more special because I decided I wanted this 100th episode to be the way for me to give back to all of you for all of your support, whether it's been from the early days or more current. But just to say thank you, because without you, this show would not exist. So instead of just me sitting here talking about these tips and giving you my thoughts about them, I am delighted to say that I am going to be reading all the tips that you submitted, but it's not going to be just me. I have a very, very special guest here with me. He's been on the show before, and you guys really enjoyed his content, and I said, you know what? You gotta have someone awesome to come on and do something special for the 100th episode. So I am more than delighted to say that I am joined by the one and only Mr. Aaron Boston. Aaron, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for the very generous and flattering introduction, Jonathan.
I've been looking forward to doing this 100th episode for a while, and even more so once you said that you would come on and do it with me, and I was like, oh, great. This way people don't just have to hear me talk for the whole thing as I'm reading a list of tips. Now they can hear you talk too, which is even better.
And we've done this a couple times, it feels like, now too. But I think I feel this one's going to be successful.
Yeah, I think so.
The recording will last this time.
Well, and also, actually, I have to give a brief, in the print journalism field, it would be considered a retraction, but a brief clarification to people and an apology at the same time. In episode 99, which was dedicated to the memory of the late and great Donald Featherstone, I accidentally and completely in error, it's completely my fault, and I don't even know what I was thinking, but I mistakenly referred to Mr. H.G. Wells as an American. Clearly, that's not the case. He was a British citizen, a British author. For whatever reason, just in my head, maybe I hoped that he secretly wanted to be American or something. I don't know. But like,
or Americans want him to be American.
Well, like, it came out of my mouth, and as I was saying, I was like, that doesn't feel right. And you'd think I would have caught it in post or something, but no. A listener had wrote to me, his name's Jeremy, and through a few emails, he had made it clear that I had messed up, and I'm grateful to him for pointing out the error because I really strive for accuracy and authenticity. I want to make sure I'm giving you correct information, and if I'm messing up, and it's bound to happen because I'm a human, I'm just a guy at a computer with a microphone, so I'm bound to make mistakes. I really appreciate the constructive criticism because constructive criticism is really important. It just makes things better. It makes the show better. It makes me better. It gives a better experience for all of you. Someone just saying, oh, you're a moron or whatever, that doesn't help at all. But when someone takes the time to comment and say, hey, you know, I'm sorry, but I think you made a mistake here and you might want to fix it, that's wonderful. And that's something that I have to applaud. So I want to apologize for that mistake. And just, I figured now is the time to do it because I don't like to leave that stuff going on. And then, of course, with the 100th episode, I figured maybe more people might be listening. So this way, if you didn't listen to episode 99, you can be like, oh, wait, Jonathan messed up, but let me go listen to it anyway, and keeping that in mind, and then hear about all the wonderful things that I had discussed on episode 99 in the memory of the late and great Donald Featherstone. But why don't we get started, Aaron, with the tips? And I think you should start things off with tip number one.
All right. And I am convinced that this is going to be a perfect episode with no mistakes.
you don't know
Adam
me well enough.
Of the Fencing Frog blog gives us a great tip. Read the rules and review them frequently. Dean Emerson of huzzahcom.com planned to attend Huzzah each year for 3 days of terrific historical gaming in New England. Phil Hatfield says, don't take war games too seriously. When you're done, shake hands with your opponents, tell them good game, whether you won or lost, and leave as friends. Casey Harmon says, don't take unnecessary risks. John Sutherland of WarGameHolidays.com says, always organize your projects from the heart, not the head. Wargaming is all about enjoying yourself.
Number 6. Sharing the hobby can be its own reward. From Mike Payne. Adam of the Fencing Frog blog says, playtest any game you are presenting as much as you can, and try to playtest it with some people who don't already know the rules you are using. Number 8. Pay equal attention and time to your tabletop and terrain as you do to your soldiers. Submitted by John Sutherland of WarGameHolidays.com. Number 9. Advantages are built slowly. Submitted by Casey Harmon. Number 10. Scott Monteith says, the game should come to a logical or agreed-on end.
Number 11. Mike Payne says, have fun. Don't be the reason someone gave up the hobby. Number 12. Gaming is a social thing. Please don't forget proper hygiene. Gordon Adler of AdlerHobby.com. Number 13. Get someone else to paint your stuff if you don't like how you paint, says Steve Riley, and certainly applicable to our host, Jonathan. Number 14. Steve G says, if you have to choose between offense and defensive resources, then all other things being equal, offense is better because dead things cannot hurt you.
That's so true.
It is. Number 15, for historical and especially Napoleonic era war games, clashofarms.com is the best in the business. The owner, Ed Wimble, is a true storehouse of Napoleonic knowledge. This from Adrian Benson of the New England Grognard.
Number 16. Instead of throwing out those caps on your soda bottles, save them and mount your figures on them for painting. Submitted by Court. Number 17. Static grass is the best base flocking material, thanks to Bill Greenwald. Number 18. Peter Lewitt says, understand the victory conditions. Number 19. Our friend Richard Crawley of the Land of Counterpain says, build your terrain pieces to fit the boxes you have available, especially true when you're working on some houses. And then number 20, Pat G submitted, use juniorgeneral.com to print out top-down images for rules testing.
And that's one I definitely second. I use Junior General all the time. Number 21, use a clear vinyl shower curtain over a painted surface to create rippling water. Number 22,
wait, aren't you going to say who that was from?
Oh, that was for me. Number 22, use one mini dice besides each unit to track units on a table. This from Tidal Timmerman. Number 23, Adam of the Fencing Frog blog advises, certain types of packing peanuts can be repurposed as sandbags. Probably not the ones that are made out of cornstarch and dissolved with water.
No, not
I haven't tried to paint those, but I imagine they don't work very well. Number 24. Never underestimate the charm and appropriateness of your own painting. Do not get overwhelmed by the efforts of so-called professional painters. This from John Sutherland of WarGameHolidays.com. And another tip, which our host Jonathan should take to heart. Number 25, remember, it is just a game. Your men are not dying out there. This advice from Mike Payne.
Number 26, Gene Parrish says, play your enemy, find strategies he favors, and then find ways to turn them into a detriment to him. Number 27, Peter Lowett says, understand the terrain. Number 28. Wargaming is more about socializing with your friends and opponents than about winning, thanks to Alan Wright. Number 29. ArmchairGeneral.com is a great review site geared towards all gaming, including computer gaming. Many thanks to Adrian Benson of New England Grognard. Number 30. Greg Simcoe says, have fun!
Number 31. Games Workshop battle mats crease very easily. Smooth them with an iron on cool setting on the back and then roll them up for storage. Thanks to Richard Crawley of the Land of Counterpain. Number 32. Read Little Heart. Thanks to Peter Lowett.
That's on my list to read.
It is on mine now, too. Number 33. Find out if you can easily get the models you want before committing to a project. And this sounds like advice learned from experience from Jonathan J. Reinhardt of WargamingRecon.com.
Unfortunately, that's true.
34. Life is too short to paint anything in enamels. This from Richard Crawley of the Land of Counterpain. And I agree. Number 35. Cardboard is your best friend when it comes to wargaming on the cheap. This thanks to Tidal Timmerman, and this reminds me of an episode of Wargaming Recon, which was actually the first episode I ever listened to. Can't remember the actual number of that one now.
Episode 84, Wargaming on the Cheap, and many thanks to Tidal for that, because Tidal is a huge fan of the show, and he's a creator of his own set of rules, which I believe he has some tips about later on in this episode. Number 36, strike a balance on terrain that looks good in what is practical for gameplay. Thank you, Adam of the Fencing Frog blog. Number 37, from me, find a local game store that sells the products you want, supports the gaming community, and gives incredible customer service. Number 38, tea leaves make good fallen leaves to scatter about for jungle terrain pieces, from Richard Crawley of the Land of Counterpain. Number 39, from Aaron, be clear about your goals. If you only want a friendly game, say so before you start. Number 40, from me, model railroading is a great source of inspiration for terrain and terrain making products.
41. If rules are not working, change them. From John Sutherland of WargameHolidays.com. Number 42. Paper clips are great for short lengths of wire to pin transplanted heads onto plastic figures. Thanks to Richard Crawley of the Land of Counterpain. 43. From our esteemed host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. If a game isn't going as planned, shrug it off and play again, swapping sides. Number 44. Don't let wives and girlfriends suffer. Include them in your gaming. And that's one of my tips. It's always painful when somebody has a wife or a girlfriend that really doesn't want to be there and just is going to watch for 3 hours. 45. Know at least the bare-bone basics of Warhammer. Odds are someone will ask you to compare your game to that. Thanks to Adam of Fencing Frog blog.
Adrian Benson of the New England Grognard says, the triple crown of historical gaming cons is Historicon, Fallen, and Cold Wars. Number 47, from me. Support your good local game stores, but don't hesitate to shop elsewhere if needed. Number 48, Aaron over at The Fonzie Wars says, when spray priming new minis, always spray outdoors or in a well-ventilated area. Very important safety advice to keep in the front of your mind. Number 49, court submitted. Know what is at Home Depot. Stop signs and for sale signs are excellent for rivers, roads, and bases. They're cheap. And number 50, Scott Monteith says, make sure everyone has a chance to play.
Number 51. Google Plus is a great choice for an online community of friendly wargamers. From our esteemed host, Jonathan. Number 52. Always cut away from yourself when using a craft knife or other sharp cutting Omen. And this is, I'm becoming the safety advisor for the Wargaming Recon, I think.
You really are.
Number 53, buy multiple colors of static grass. Use patches of different colors for a more natural look. Thanks to Richard Crawley of the Land of Counterpane. And 54, Peter Lowett advises, narrow the field by understanding the likely approaches. Number 55, Alan Wright says, there are three major components to wargaming: playing, buying and painting the figures, and researching the history. You are truly blessed if you can love all three, but you can have a great time enjoying just one of them.
Number 56, I say, immerse yourself in the wargaming community. Read magazines, listen to podcasts, and participate in a club. Number 57, Aaron submitted, don't be afraid to experiment with paints on a figure. You can always strip it and start all over. Number 58, Adam of the Fencing Frog blog submitted, when painting a new army, paint the elites or your favorites last, not first. Your painting technique will improve with practice, and you may need the appeal of painting your favorites to carry you through the project. Number 59, if someone tells you that something is painted or organized incorrectly, it is probably time to find a new opponent. Thanks to John Sutherland of WargameHolidays.com. I completely agree with this one, and I wish I came up with it myself. Number 60, have fun. Wargaming is really all about the gaming, after all. Thanks to Aaron.
Number 61, read the Wargaming Classics by H.G. Wells, Donald Featherstone, Charles Grant, and his son, C.S. Grant. Thanks to Jonathan of WargamingRecon.com. Number 62, get into a game where you create a Yes, let me start that all over again, and you can just cut that out later, but I know you really won't.
You're right.
Number 62, get into a game where you create a player base or that already has some folks playing. There's nothing worse than getting drawn into a gaming system or line of models and have no one to play with. Thanks to Michael Saltzman of WargamingClub.com. Number 63, Multi-Man Publishing kept Advanced Squatter Leader alive. Get ASL at multimanpublishing.com. This from Adrian Benson of New England Grognog. That's something I didn't know because I still have the old Avalon Hill ASL that's been sitting in my closet for at least 15 years unplayed. Number 64, straight lines attract the eye. It is better to store your felt terrain cloth scrunched up instead of folded. That's something that hadn't occurred to me. That's very good.
I need to try that.
Yeah, me too. Thanks to Richard Crawley of the Land of Counterpane. And our esteemed host, Jonathan, advises, tip number 65, don't be afraid of research. Your library, the internet, and fellow wargamers, that's a whole new type of lycanthrope, fellow wargamers are wonderful resources.
Number 66, Aaron says, invite kids to ask questions. It's okay if you don't want them handling your minis, but explain what you're doing. Perhaps you'll find a new recruit to wargaming. Number 67, Peter Lowett says, do you have sufficient in-game time to deploy the indirect approach? Number 68, try to build one new piece of terrain for every game you play. Soon you'll have a flexible collection. Many thanks to Richard Crawley of the Land of Counterpane. Number 69, Alan Wright submitted, if you wargame regularly and your normal opponents are equally competent as you, then you will lose half of your games. If you can't enjoy those games, then you need another hobby. And number 70, Tidal Timmerman said, don't feel discouraged from painting, building a game board, or designing a game. The sooner you get it done, the faster you can play.
Number 71, from our esteemed host, Jonathan. Reach out to other gamers to build a network of like-minded people to support one another, game, and have fun. Number 72, try a new game, sometimes a sci-fi or fantasy game, or a historical game set in an unfamiliar period. may feature some system mechanics that you might want to adapt to your favorite period or system. And that was for me. Number 73, a 2.5 liter container of textured masonry paint lasts forever. Use it to apply a render-like texture to homemade buildings. Thanks to Richard Crawley of the Land of Counterpane. Number 74 from Adrian Benson of New England Grognard. Want games on eBay? Search for SPI, Yakinti, Avalon Hill, TSR, OSG, and Victory Games. Number 75, Peter Lowett advises, simple. Know your opponent.
It might be simple to say, but hard to do.
Well, it helps if you play the same opponent a lot of times, too.
That's true. For all of you listening, if you ever play me in a game, know I will always use the defensive approach, because clearly I just haven't taken all these tips to heart yet. Number 76, I say, try a different game from time to time. You may be surprised by how much you like the unexpected. Number 77, Aaron in his safety inspector helmet says, wear goggles when using solvents to avoid splashing caustic chemicals in your eye. Number 78, Adam of the Fencing Frog blog submitted, use dark green cloth with a few trees to represent a larger wooded area. Number 79, Peter Fitzpatrick said, and Aaron, you said there was going to be no errors in this. Number 79, Peter Fitzpatrick said, PlasticSoldierReview.com is an excellent resource for previewing plastic models. They cover everything and everyone. I completely second this. Number 80, GW's sculpting tool is great for applying gunk to unit bases, sculpting green stuff, and scratching your back. Submitted by Richard Crawley of the Lander Counterpane. Don't know what gunk is? Don't worry. It appears in a later tip.
Well, factual mistakes are different from tongue-tied incidents, I think. So the latter can be more easily forgiven, I hope. Number 81 from our esteemed host, Jonathan. I wonder where he picked up this bit of advice, but he says, want to game in 54 millimeter? Try armiesinplastic.com for affordable 54 millimeter models that also look like toy soldiers. But the best part is they come painted, according to Jonathan. Number 82, a permanent gaming table is nice, but a permanent painting workbench is far more useful. Thanks to Richard Crawley of the Land of Counterpane. Number 83, when writing your own rules, playtest with a lot of different people. Don't be afraid to scrap and rewrite sections as needed. Thanks to Tidal Timmerman. Number 84, another tip from our esteemed host, Jonathan. Try running an event at a game day or convention. It is a lot of fun and a great learning experience. And number 85, set up a good defense if you don't have at least 25% more troops than your opponent. Thanks to Alan Wright.
Number 86, Richard Crawley of the Lander Counterpane continues with his terrain and modeling tips by saying, a white ceramic tile is a great palette for mixing paint and for using acrylics. It cleans off with hot water and elbow grease. Number 87, I say, play the games you love with the people you like. If you don't like the rules or the people, change them. Number 88, Aaron over at The Fonzie Wars says, always ask before touching someone's models. Don't be offended if they prefer that you don't. Number 89, Richard Crawley of the Land of Counterpane says, there's a lot of great free wargame rules at Pete Jones's site, freewargamesrules.co.uk. Use them to introduce a new person to the hobby, then give them a free copy of the rules. Number 90, Adrian Benson of the New England Grognard says, Avalanche Press is best known for the endlessly expandable Panzer Grenadier series.
Our next tip comes from our esteemed host, Jonathan, and I think he has some experience in this, knows what he's talking about. because I hear about the games he hosts from more than one source. Number 91. When hosting people for some wargaming, be sure to have plenty of snacks and beverages on hand. Number 92. From David Rentke. And you had the pronunciation here and I did it wrong, so let me do this again. From David Rentke. Consider a large scale when gaming with children. Possibly 54 millimeter?
Possibly.
Especially since they come painted.
You're never going to let me live that down. Never.
I think it's going to be an inside joy.
Maybe you've been indulging in a few beverages already.
Yeah. I got home. I had a beer. It's not helping, is it?
I think you're on number 93.
Yes, number 93. We're so close to the end and it's all falling apart. To texture model bases, use this recipe for gunk number one. Using a jar jam or something with a sealable lid, add PVA glue, sand, and brown acrylic paint. Mix. Add more sand if too wet. More paint PVA if too dry. Apply with a sculpting tool or paintbrush. Thanks to Richard Crawley of the Land of Canterpane, who definitely has a lot of good terrain tips. Number 94, Adam of the French Flog. All right.
There's a lot of flogging going on in...
I have a hard time with R's. I always have. And it's like my 5-year-old self is coming out after talking this much. Okay. Number 94. Sorry so much, Adam. Of the Fencing Frog blog. 28 millimeter models are great for painting individuals. 15 millimeter models are good for painting rank and file troops. Number 95. Wargaming Magazine Quick Hits. Read War Games Illustrated, War Games Soldiers and Strategy, and Miniature War Games Now with Battle Games. Thanks to Jonathan J. Reinhardt of WargamingRegon.com.
Okay, we're in the home stretch, people. Number 96, Aaron says, introduce yourself. If someone is standing by your table, they may just need a nudge, metaphorically speaking. Tell them about what game you're playing and invite them to join you. Number 97, pay someone to assemble buildings if you don't have the time or skill. Thanks to Adrian Benson of New England Grognard. Number 98, to texture terrain bases, create gunk. Number 2, buy ready-mixed combined tile grout and adhesive. Get it brown if possible. Otherwise, add brown poster paint. Apply with a sculpting tool. Richard Crawley of the Land of Counterpane. And I have to say, Richard has created fantastic stuff for his Cold War Commander series of games, and that I am grateful to him not only for the tips, but also for memorializing me for a gazillion years to come. As a commander, he created a little model and named it after me, which was pretty cool. Number 99, Adam of the Fencing Frog blog says, make a point to learn about the force you are painting. Someone will ask you about them sometime. The basics will usually do. And finally, the last one, the complete tip of the pyramid is tip number 100. Use wargaming to give back to your community and those in need, submitted by yours truly. So those are 100 wargaming tips created by people just like you. I have to say thank you, Aaron, for taking the time to read these tips. I know there's quite a few of them, and people really do like to have alliterative names to their blogs and all sorts of kind of stuff. You don't want to know how many times I've talked with Adam in person. And Fencing Frog Blog, it's just, I trip over it. It's memorable, but it's like, oh God, it's so close. And I don't know, something about it. It's like
somehow I got all of those, it seemed like, but there was a couple times I almost messed up on it. And there was a couple times when I actually did.
I'm just bowled over by not only just the quantity of tips, but the quality of them. There's such a nice array of content in here. And I think that anyone who listens and reads these tips, because they will be available on our blog, head on over to wargamingforums.com, /WR100. That's wargamingforums.com/WR100. We'll have the whole list in the show notes so you can read them all there. But I think anyone who looks at these and uses them will be well off. And it's really a great starting point for people. I know it can be really confusing getting into wargaming, especially if you come from that whole GW background where you're like, oh, there's one company that makes everything you need, from the rules, the models, the paint, the carrying case, everything, to being like, oh my god, I'm pushed out here and I can do whatever I want, but where do I begin? There's a lot of good stuff in here. And it's also clear to me, based on the different types of content, what each person feels really strong about and what they have a really good foundation in. Aaron, for example, you have a lot of safety stuff. So to me, that says that you know a lot about that, and that's something that you feel is really important. Aaron talks a lot about that kind of stuff because I'm guessing maybe you deal with it in your regular work. Adam covers a lot about painting. I know for a fact painting is very important to him. John Sutherland, for example, with all of his tips about having a good event and like not letting what others think get you down, well, he runs a wargaming holiday center. People like you and me, we can go for a week to the island of Crete, hang out, get a lot of gaming done, and he runs the whole thing. So, of course, he needs a thick skin. He needs to create everything. He's painted and assembled thousands and thousands of Zulu for his Rorke's Drift game. And, I mean, you can't be doing that kind of stuff if you're worrying what everyone is going to be as a critic. So people have a lot of really good content that they submitted, and I am so grateful to everyone for all of it. It means a lot to me, and I know that this is something that we'll have to do again down the road. Maybe not like 101 go. Maybe we'll just pepper some throughout podcast episodes. Like maybe, I don't know, 10 episodes down the road. Maybe there'll be like 5 tips to share and be like, hey, look what so-and-so said in and check this out. And I think tips are kind of something that everyone really gets into. And it seems like it would be easy to have that and make it and share it, because you look at a tip and it's short. And how long does it take to do something short, right? But that's the difficult part of it, because if it's too long, then it's not really a tip. It's like a whole like how-to whatever thing. And you need to approach those in a different way than you would have to a really quick and dirty kind of tip. So I know it's not necessarily an easy thing, but I really do appreciate all the time that people took out of their very busy lives to create these and submit them, and all the time that all of you are given to listening to this very special episode. Before I go on anymore, and we're actually almost done, but I have to give a couple other thank yous out there. So, of course, Aaron, I am incredibly appreciative that you took the time to record this with me, because, like you had alluded to, there have been some difficulties with us getting our schedules to mesh together and for technical things to work out. So I really appreciate you taking that time to get on here and read through these tips, even though some of them were tongue twisters.
Well, I have a history of verbal issues. I actually went through like speech therapy when I was a kid and stuff. So
me too.
I'm a little shy when it comes to this kind of thing, especially when it's recorded and I know that people are going to be listening other than like close friends and my wife. So, but thanks for having me on. Actually, I enjoyed that, and reading the tips through and reading along as you read them really gave me some good ideas and some things I want to try.
Well, I know it's very different when you're reading something, especially when you're reading it for it to be recorded and listened to by others, than if you're just saying it. And that's why for Wargaming Recon, I never script out what's going to be said on there. I'll have bullet points maybe, or like subject headings, be like, oh, let's make sure we talk about whatever. And then it's go, and it's all free form. This is the first time really it's been anywhere close to being scripted, because once you're reading tips that other people created for you, you can't just ad-lib them, really. You can't be like, oh, well, so-and-so said this, but I'm going to say this instead. You got to go with what they gave you, and it's hard to read from a script. So I always thought people like on TV or actors or whatever, oh, they get the script. That makes it easier. I think maybe it makes it harder than if you could just kind of freeform it, whether you're on television or radio or a podcast or whatever. I know some podcasters do script out everything, and they really rehearse a lot to make sure that it doesn't sound like it was scripted, because that's like the death knell. You don't want it to be like, oh, wait, there's a period here. Let me take a longer pause and then start the next sentence. because it's not like reading a book or anything. So it's really hard. Like, you gotta act it. You gotta get into character. But I also have to give huge thank yous to the one and only 127games.com because they have been so wonderful over the years. They are our official sponsor, and I would be saying nice things about them even if they weren't our sponsor. They are supportive of the wargaming hobby in general. They are fantastic. Gaming website where you can go and purchase all sorts of stuff at really cheap and affordable prices. But even more importantly, the owner is just a really nice stand-up guy, and he and I have created this wonderful business relationship. If it wasn't for his support, I have to say, I don't know that Wargaming Recon would still be here. And I'm not going to get into all like the hows and whys of how it all works, but just want to say, it's not a lot that comes financially from this arrangement, but it's enough to make a difference. Because running a podcast, you would think, wouldn't cost much of anything, but it does. I go to events and conventions, buy products to review and new equipment to use and all that kind of stuff. So there's money involved there, even when it doesn't seem like there is. And I'm not in this to make a profit or anything. I'm in it just to kind of have fun and talk about games. But that wouldn't necessarily be reality if it wasn't for the kind and generous support of 127games.com. So I have to give a huge thank you there just for all of their support over the years. I also have to give a gigantic thank you to Mr. Christopher Towater. This is a name no one will ever have heard before. And rightly so. He's a guy he's fantastic. He's associated through his wife with the Troll in the Corner, and he is a wonderful web designer. He completely rebranded and redesigned our website. So if you go to wargamingforums.com, you'll be able to see the new redesign, which we unveiled, half a dozen episodes ago. But he's the one who made it work and made it look beautiful. And he's the one, whenever there's a problem with it, I go, Chris, I need your help. And it's fun and funny at the same time because he's all the way on the West Coast of America and I'm all the way on the East Coast. So that time difference thing comes into play sometimes and something's catastrophic is happening. You try to reach out to him. He responds at hours of the day that I never would have expected anyone to get back to me about. But he works so efficiently and his work is just, it's incredible. The site would not look anywhere as clean and wonderful as it does without him. And then I have to give another huge thank you to Jeremy Costu, because Jeremy created the very special little logo, I'm going to call it, the graphic for the 100th episode. A while back I said, Jeremy, I need some help. He created some artwork in the past for the show and my other podcast, Geeks Explicitly. And I said, I need you to do your magic again. I have this 100th episode coming up. I want it to be special. I want to do something really cool to show people and give back. Can you do something? So he created this 100th episode logo. It's on Facebook and our social media and all that kind of stuff. So by the time you're listening to this episode, you'll see that. But I just have to say a huge thank you to him because it's those little things that I think make the difference. Of course, there's tons and tons of people. I can't thank everyone individually by name because then this 1 hour episode would become like a 5 hour episode. But these are just some of the people I really want to thank. And of course, I need to thank Ben Gerber, the owner of Troll in the Corner, because he's allowed Wargaming Recon to reach this whole other audience. And it's really cool to see how many people who otherwise might not listen to the show are getting access to this kind of stuff. People who aren't maybe wargamers by heart. Maybe they are role-playing gamers or board gamers or video gamers, but they're interested in this. And so they've come to it that way. So I'm very, very appreciative. But I'm thankful for all of you. Each and every one of you are important, whether you're a listener, you're a guest, past, present, or future. Everyone has just come together and been so supportive that it has allowed Wargaming Recon to keep on going. I sit here, I'm just a guy with a microphone, and if it wasn't for people who were listening to the show, who comment with me and interact with me, I would feel like I'm just operating in a black hole, and maybe I wouldn't keep on doing this. So the fact that there are people out there who like to listen to it, who care enough to submit a comment and say, great job, or hey, you messed up, but that's okay, here's the right info, fix it, whatever it is, it means the world. So I am so thoroughly appreciative of everyone and everything. I have to say, this is the 100th episode, but there's going to be a 101 coming down the road and a 102, and maybe someday we'll get to like an episode 200. How awesome would that be? Just see how far this goes and keep on going, keep on talking about all sorts of wonderful historical and New England gaming stuff. I've been alluding to some wonderful things coming up in future episodes. Get all sorts of guests coming up and going to be going to some conventions and just all sorts of really cool stuff. But I wanted to take this time, this episode, to say thank you to everyone. You guys are the reason the show exists. And there's no other way to say thank you other than thank you. So thank you. And Aaron, thank you again for being on this very, very special episode of Wargaming Recon. It's been a blast.
Well, thank you for having me on, Jonathan. I enjoyed it. Thanks.
Well, everyone, you know the drill. You know that we'll be back next time with another episode of Wargaming Recon, and we'll have more great content for you to listen to. Until then, don't forget, visit the show notes for this episode, because I know it can be hard to absorb all these tips just in audio format. Don't worry, they're written out, they're in the show notes. Head on over to wargamingforums.com/WR100, wargamingforums.com/WR100. You'll find all of it there, and I'll have links to the websites and all that kind of stuff. And thank you to everyone who submitted the all the tips and everything. It's been a blast. And as always, you know the drill. You know it's coming. Don't forget, you have to. You gotta. You need to. Keep on gaming.
Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Geeks Explicitly, new episodes coming at you every Thursday, talking about geek life. If you don't listen to Geeks Explicitly, then only at trollitc.com. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.
If you heard it and you do like it, good. If you don't like it, what I'm supposed to do.